Lord, guide my thoughts and words and make them fit your commands to us to love our neighbors and to follow your light with our eyes focused on you. Amen. When I read the gospel for today, one of the first things I thought about was the Elvis Presley song, In the Ghetto. How many of you remember that one? Lots of hands going up. Not so many young ones, but if you're close to my age, you know the song. What I see in this gospel from John 9 is spiritual blindness. The priests and the leaders and the synagogue and the blind man's neighbors had Jesus right in front of them, but they couldn't see who he was. They weren't blind like the man that Jesus healed. They were spiritually blind. What they saw was fragmented by the old laws and traditions that they clung to tenaciously. We learn in so many letters from the apostles, if we choose to see clearly and follow the commands of Jesus in action as well as words, we will have the light of God within us and we will truly see. The key word here is choose. We get to do that. In the song, The Ghetto, Presley sings about a baby boy being born in the ghetto, and it follows his life as he grows and becomes more angry and eventually violent because he was invisible to the people who could have made a difference in his life's journey. The words in the refrain are spot on in relationship to God's gospel. People, don't you understand? A child needs a helping hand, or he'll grow to be an angry young man someday. Take a look at you and me. Are we too blind to see, or do we simply turn our heads and look the other way? The man's blindness in today's gospel was easy for Jesus to heal, but the blindness of the man's neighbors, the temple priests and the Pharisees, now that was a different matter, because it was a matter of choice on their parts. They could only see what they expected and possibly hoped to see within their narrow experiences of tradition and ancient laws. Maybe they didn't want the world as they knew it to change. They were comfortable with that world, and to believe in Christ, that he was really the Messiah, well, that would have turned their world upside down, wouldn't it? They chose to stay spiritually blind. I have to believe that the blind man immediately felt God's presence in Jesus, and he trusted his heart more than he trusted his ability to see. He chose to believe. He chose to see the bigger picture. Now, the other thing that I thought about as I was writing my sermon is that old proverb, and I bet some of you have heard it, about the six blind men who teamed up to help each other experience or see an elephant. It's an ancient proverb dating back to about 500 BC in India. A group of blind men had heard that this strange exotic animal called an elephant had been brought to town, but none of them had ever experienced an elephant. So one of the men proposed that they inspect it by touch. We can't see it, but we certainly can learn something by touching it. So off they went. And here is the poem response for that. It was six men of Indostan, to learning much inclined, who went to see the elephant, though all of them were blind, that each by observation might satisfy his mind. The first approached the elephant, and happening to fall against his broad and sturdy side, at once began to bawl, "God bless me, but the elephant is very like a wall." The second, feeling of the tusk, cried, "Oh, what have we here? So very round and smooth and sharp. To me, 'tis mighty clear. This wonder of an elephant is very like a spear." The third approached the animal and, happening to take the squirming trunk with his hands, thus boldly up and spake. "I see," quoth he. "The elephant is very like a snake." The fourth reached out his eager hand and felt about the knee. "What most this wondrous bee is like is mighty plain," quoth he. "'Tis clear enough. The elephant is very like a tree." The fifth, who chanced to touch the ear, said, "Even a blind man can tell what this resembles most. Deny the fact who can, this marvel of an elephant is very like a fan." The sixth no sooner had begun about the beast to grope than, seizing upon the swinging tail that fell within his scope, "I see," quoth he, "the elephant is very like a rope." And so these men of Indostan disputed loud and long, each with his own opinion exceedingly stiff and strong, though each was partly in the right and all were in the wrong. So oft in theologic wars the disputants, I ween, rail on an utter ignorance of what each other mean, and prate about an elephant not one of them has seen. And so it is in today's gospel. None of the arguing neighbors and men from the temple that had seen that God was in Christ. And they were all so convinced of their own opinions. Just as none of the blind man in the elephant story wanted to lose his stature as a wise man, the temple leaders certainly didn't want to lose their power in the temple. Christ had demonstrated his divine power in healing the man's physical blindness. The healed man knew with his whole being that Christ was indeed the Messiah as he responded to the relentless questions from the temple leaders. "Never," he said, "since the world began, has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind? If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." And how did the priests and elders respond to this very logical statement? They kicked the man out of the temple, and they condemned Jesus because he healed on the Sabbath. They clung so tightly to the laws of Moses, and their egos were so big, they could not and would not believe what they could have seen with their own eyes, that the man had been miraculously healed. Were they too blind to see, or did they simply turn their heads and look the other way? To live blindly in darkness is to live in sin. To live in the light is not only to believe in Christ, but to follow Christ. I highly recommend the book of 1 John, the whole book. And don't be afraid, it's not a big assignment because this is a very short book. But it's full of stories and inspiration for living in Christ's light. It was written by John in his older years. And in his younger years, in the first gospel, John 8, verse 12, Christ says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all teach in their gospels that to be of the world is to live in darkness. And it's not good enough to just see the light and claim the light as yours. To be of God and in God, you live in the light. And actions speak louder than words. One of my favorite sayings is, "Don't tell me you're a Christian, show me." Have you ever noticed that plants always move toward the light? That's why this time of year, my plants in the house get pretty leggy because they're really stretching to reach. To be in God, to have God within us, we need to reach for the light. We have to stop stumbling around in the darkness that the world brings us every day to tempt us. Maybe we have to get off social media for a while and quit listening to every news broadcast so that we can follow the light and have that light within us to share with others. It is said the greatest blindness is the blindness of the heart. So help us, Lord, to keep our hearts and eyes open to the needs of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Help us to live our faith. May it be so as we journey together with Christ through this Lenten season. Amen. And now,